Welcome to the Human Health Resources Preparing for and Overcoming the Shortage podcast. We've spoken to both private and public healthcare leaders from healthcare administration, medical and nursing professional backgrounds across worldwide locations, including Saudi Arabia, Norway, Poland, Taiwan, and Australia. Interestingly, the workforce challenges of these professionals remain of similar vein, with the number one issue acknowledged by the majority as being retention. In this podcast, we will discuss issues related to attracting, recruiting, and retaining skilled staff and developing strategies for the mitigation of such, ensuring an effective and efficient work-ready workforce, upskilling the current workforce, and the prevention of wage theft by individuals and organisations alike. The interdisciplinary group involved in the development of this podcast all believe that to drive an organisation forward, you must acknowledge, investigate, and actively prepare for the healthcare workforce shortage now, so to ensure the continued provision of excellent patient care and services. Having that in mind, Powell, let's start the discussion.
Thanks, Amanda, for setting the stage. This is Pavel, your host. Next, we'll have Inga with us to dive deep into human health resources. What levers can be pulled to make your organization attractive to the healthcare workforce? Basically, how do you become an employer of choice?
Simply put, an employer of choice is a company that candidates, by and large, want to work for. An employer of choice is an employer that has built and nurtured a workplace environment that attracts and retains the most talented employees. To become an employer of choice, you should firstly identify your business values and define a strong employee value proposition, or EVP. Your EVP is crucial to your employer brand as it defines the value employees receive, your purpose and culture, and the unique experience of what it's like to work at your organization. From a forward-thinking mindset to opportunities for career progression, it communicates what employees get from working for you and why they should stay with your organization. Leverage this position and ensure the organization is awarded or rated with reputable external companies that are internationally recognizable, such as Great Place to Work or the like. Ensuring your organization is a workplace that values employees' physical, psychological, and social safety, which can be demonstrated through provision of clean and safe environments, workplace health and safety, security, mental health and social initiatives, and/or education and training, and workloads related to environment, standards of practice, exemplar nurse-to-patient ratios, and patient care should be all considered by organizations attempting to become employers of choice. Attraction of staff can be further amplified by promoting and investing in support services related to visa and professional registration, attainment and travel, and relocation support to ensure new recruits are placed into communities that have shared values or interests. Culture and religion, etc., that promotes optimal and efficient assimilation. Further, in today's society, the workforce highly values health and wellness, work-life balance, and the environmental. So to consider this, employers must consider expediting healthcare provisions for elective surgeries for employees and their immediate family members, childcare, gym memberships, and the organization's engagement in recycling and environmental sustainability initiatives. Financial incentives related to attraction and relocation, salary sacrificing, daily commuting expenses, or car parking provisions should also be considered when attempting to attract and recruit a talented workforce.
That's interesting, Inga. Looking at the topic from another angle, what retention strategies can be implemented once you have attracted and recruited the skilled workforce?
Improving employee retention in healthcare is crucial for all healthcare organizations. Firstly, recruitment and onboarding processes must be streamlined, effective, and efficient. This, combined with consistent HR processes that provide role clarity, is important as it sets the tone of the new working environment. Young adults are expected to change roles a number of times throughout their career. It is important to leverage off this by including in-house education and training that supports personal and professional growth and salary increase opportunities. To further enhance these initiatives, organizations should consider attaining recognition of prior learning with tertiary bodies, so to ensure the reduction of subjects and the associated costs of further postgraduate study. Organizational investment in individuals will assist them to feel empowered and provide exemplar patient care, and in doing so are able to gain trust and respect from their multidisciplinary colleagues and further encouragement to work to their full scope of practice, so to enjoy meaningful work. Coaching and mentoring programs also support individuals' success and ensure the succession of the organization's leaders. It is important to note change happens continuously in health and must be embraced. To embrace change and retain staff, employers must invest in healthcare automation and support technological advancement related to equipment, education, medical records and processes such as telehealth that may assist in preventing work overload, burnout, and the associated mental health impacts of such. This also enhances the ability of healthcare organizations to streamline processes, improve productivity, reduce costs, and deliver high-quality patient-centric experiences. It is important the organizations provide flexible workforce arrangements through appropriate, flexible, or agile rostering and annual planning processes that promotes work-life balance, ensuring the provision of personal and promotional opportunities such as in-house, rural, regional, national, and international exchange programs that provide opportunities to learn, travel, and engage in different societies and cultures is important to ensure employers are demonstrating value for the individual while potentially providing support to the incumbent jurisdiction. Finally, recognition and reward for employees related to years of service, exemplar care, and financial incentives related to completion bonuses are all avenues that may further support employee engagement and retention.
Inga, now let's talk a little bit about burnout in the healthcare workforce. How can healthcare leaders build a robust workforce resilient to burnout?
Burnout has been a significant problem within the working world for a while and was amplified by the pandemic. The phenomenon is particularly widespread among healthcare workers, mainly linked to the delivery of services of poorer quality and less safe care. The pandemic prompted many healthcare workers to reflect on the impact work have on their lives and to seek more balance. Studies suggest that the healthcare workers should be offered support and help for the short and long-term physical and emotional challenges associated with work. Resilience interventions are one type of workplace support intervention. This may involve offers of psychologists and support groups. Resilience interventions can develop the psychological skills, which can contribute to lower levels of depression and burnout, increased well-being, and coping with traumatic events. Some institutions of higher education have established classes for managing stress and prevention of burnout so that the new graduates are better equipped for work life. Healthcare leaders play an important role in preventing and dealing with these issues. The leader should be visible and present, contribute to clear communication, ensure preparation and adequate training, as well as strive sufficient resources and expertise in the department. They should engage in conversation with their co-workers to understand their concerns and experiences and reassure staff that it's okay to have other priorities outside of work and to take breaks when they need to. It is also important that leaders make room for flexibility in working hours and rotation plans, as well as encourage time off. Employees often behave in accordance with company culture, so leaders should be modeling those positive behaviors and make sure the workplace culture supports it.
It seems that solving the challenge requires efficient teamwork, Inga. How can educational institutions and healthcare employers develop an educational course that young employees will meet as healthcare workers?
The global labor deficit is projected to reach $8.5 trillion by 2030, but an increasing number of our youngest employees are already feeling pressured and exhausted, even in the earliest stages of their careers. We need to prepare for the future. But how? The educational institutions are preparing the next generation of healthcare workers to address the healthcare needs globally. There is increasing recognition that collaboration between universities and employers can play a key role in tackling the skills gap. The educational institutions have broad pedagogical expertise and robust quality assurance processes, while employers give students access to first-hand insight into the workplace. These strengths can be combined to increase the quality of education that directly meet the needs of both individuals and employers. If we are to succeed in the changes we're facing, working life and higher education must play together. There is therefore a need to strengthen and systematize the collaboration between higher education and working life, and to further develop structures that build under a culture characterized by mutual respect and understanding of each other's roles and obligations.
That's an interesting insight. Thanks, Inga. Coming to efficiency, how to save training costs for the healthcare workforce?
Training is an essential part of the organizational process. It helps build the gap between the employee's skills and the company's expectations of its workforce. Organizations are always looking for ways to increase revenue and reduce the cost of business operations, one of which is employee training. Saving on training costs for the healthcare workforce is an important strategy for any organization looking to stay competitive. Therefore, training your workforce effectively is a significant investment for organizations' growth and success. By implementing the strategies I will mention, healthcare organizations can maximize their training process while keeping costs low. Take advantage of communication technologies such as e-learnings or virtual trainings. Many healthcare organizations are investing in e-learning platforms to provide comprehensive training. E-learning can help reduce costs by eliminating the need for physical materials and the need for a physical instructor. E-learning can also be tailored to specific roles, allowing the organization to customize the training for each individual employee. Invest in technology. Investing in technologies that can help automate the training process can also be a great way to save on training costs. Technologies such as artificial intelligence can help streamline the training process by providing instant feedback on how the trainee is doing in the course. It may also help automate some aspects of the training, such as taking notes or providing feedback on progress. Comments, mentoring programs, preceptorship, or on-the-job training that enables active participation to guide newly qualified practitioners to learn in the flow of work and develop their practice further. Leverage microlearning, where learning is delivered in smaller chunks that is much easier to consume and is also less expensive. It's an efficient way to deliver training that doesn't interfere with employees' responsibilities. Conventional employee training or traditional teachings is time-consuming, expensive, and adds pressure to the healthcare worker. The longer the training, the longer you're taking people away from their actual work.
Thanks for that. Let's talk a little bit about technology. How effective is augmented reality and virtual reality in upskilling healthcare workforce?
Today, with medical tools undergoing a revolutionary upgrade faster than ever before, it is critical for healthcare professionals to stay up to date with innovation. If ignored, the growing gap in knowledge hampers the ability to provide good service to patients. Augmented and virtual reality is a rapidly developing technology that is becoming increasingly important in the upskilling of healthcare workers. With the use of AR and VR, healthcare professionals are able to gain a better understanding of medical procedures, understanding of the human anatomy, and a deeper insight into the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of diseases. The use of AR and VR in upskilling healthcare workers is proving to be extremely effective. Through immersive learning simulations, users are able to learn about medical procedures in a more interactive and engaging way. This type of learning has been shown to help increase the speed of accuracy of the learning process, helping healthcare professionals quickly gain the skills and knowledge necessary to navigate complex medical situations. Additionally, augmented and virtual reality can be used to create environments that closely resemble real-life scenarios, allowing healthcare workers to get a more realistic sense of a variety of medical conditions and treatments. This helps to prepare them for any unpredictable circumstances that may arise in the field. Finally, AR and VR can also be used to provide healthcare professionals with the ability to practice healthcare procedures in a safe and controlled environment without fear of damaging the patient or themselves. This not only helps to reduce the risk of healthcare errors, but it also prepares healthcare workers for a more successful real-time performance. The use of augmented and virtual reality in the upskilling of healthcare workers is proving to be an invaluable tool. Through immersive learning simulations, users are able to quickly and accurately learn about medical procedures and gain a better understanding of the human body. Additionally, they are able to practice procedures in a safe environment and become better prepared for real-time scenarios. As the demand of enhanced healthcare continues to grow, AR and VR are becoming an even more important tool in the upskilling of healthcare workers.
Thanks, Inga. Going now to financial elements. How can organizations prevent and raise awareness of wage theft?
There are several ways organizations can prevent and raise awareness of wage theft. Organizations must establish clear policies and procedures related to wage payment, including guidelines on overtime, minimum wage, and record keeping. These policies should be communicated to all employees to ensure transparency and accountability. Regular wage payment audits should also be used to identify any discrepancies and or potential instances of wage theft to help ensure compliance with labor laws and enables organizations to take corrective actions if needed. Organizational reporting can also be established that encourages employees to report any concerns or suspicions of wage theft and can be completed anonymously to protect employees from retaliation. Further, employers should provide training and education to managers and HR professionals on wage and hour laws, as well as the organization's policies and procedures, both of which helps them understand and enforce appropriate wage payment practices. Organizations can further engage with local labor agencies to remain contemporary in relation to labor laws, regulations, and best practices regarding wage payment. This partnership can assist organizations proactively address any issues and ensure compliance with relevant laws. Lastly, organizations must maintain transparency in their wage payment practices by providing employees with detailed understanding of earnings, deductions, and hours worked. In summary, organizations can raise awareness of wage theft by including information about fair wage practices, employee rights, and reporting mechanisms in employee handbooks, newsletters, or training sessions. Additionally, participating in community outreach programs or campaigns focused on wage theft awareness may also be effective. By implementing these strategies, organizations can prevent wage theft, protect their employees' rights, and foster a culture of fairness and compliance.
That's really interesting. Regarding underpayment, however, how can organizations efficiently deal with underpayment issues and ensure equitable compensation practices?
Fair pay and underpayment are pressing concerns in healthcare organizations. To address these issues, transparency is key. Organizations must openly communicate their pay policies and regularly review them to ensure fair compensation for all employees. Clearly defining job roles and setting appropriate salary ranges promote consistency and fairness throughout the organization. Implementing performance management systems that provide clear expectations on regular feedback is essential. This allows compensation to be linked directly to individual performance and merits, rewarding those who excel in their roles. Regular analysis should be conducted to promote pay equity, identifying and addressing any wage gaps to ensure fair compensation for all. Creating a supportive environment where employees feel comfortable discussing underpayment concerns is important. Open communication channels and effective grievance mechanisms should be established to provide employees with a voice and ensure their concerns are heard and addressed. By prioritizing fairness, employee well-being, and recognition, healthcare organizations can foster a positive culture that values and respects its workforce. This, in turn, helps address underpayment issues and demonstrate a genuine commitment to the employees who play a vital role in providing quality healthcare services.
Thank you, Inga. From my personal perspective, some might think that a governmental or federal minimum wage limit for healthcare workforce might be the most effective solutions to the problem. Is it a fact?
The dominating context in which wage gaps in the healthcare sector vary significantly depending on regional specifics. Gender-related wage asymmetries among healthcare staff might be the default connotation in some geographic areas. For example, Eastern Europe, a more radical contrast in wage levels may be observed between staff members of the public versus private healthcare system. In such case, gender of the staff seems to play a secondary role. Some non-obvious factors increasing the wage gap among medical staff executing the same scope of responsibilities include governmental regulations or policies incentivizing staff members educated in newer medical training schemes, deprioritizing the importance of hands-on experience, usually affiliated with staff members educated in previous training models. Lifelong continuous education of the medical force is fundamental to high-quality healthcare provision and, as such, it undoubtedly should be financially gratified to maintain motivation. Such systemic benefits or incentives should not, however, result in increased antagonisms among medical staff members. In Poland, the above-mentioned discussion arose in the process of facilitating the model of the governmental minimum wage limit dedicated for employees of the healthcare sector. In the presented case, the formal degree and recency of medical training took priority over the length of hands-on practical experience in terms of financial incentives or salary grades of medical staff. Such approach generated a nationwide discussion whether medical staff should be incentivized for the overall formal training they obtain throughout their entire career or the actual competence or experience required by their employer on the position they currently execute. The above-mentioned policy contradicts some of the modern trends observed in countries such as Great Britain or the United States, where the concept of skill mixing and formal medical degree upgrade through apprenticeships is gaining increased popularity, with clear benefits for both the patients and healthcare providers. This example illustrates the difficulty and complexity of policy formulation, as the minimum wage limit seemed to solve the problem of gender-related wage inequalities in the healthcare system, but in a broader sense, it generated several negative systemic consequences, destabilizing the wage equilibrium for both the private and public healthcare providers.
Inga, thank you for those insights. We will now close the session with Amanda.
Thank you for listening to the Human Health Resources Preparing for and Overcoming the Shortage podcast. As a worldwide interdisciplinary team coming from both public and private health backgrounds, we aim to bring you valuable insights and share best practices to minimize and prevent the impact of the current and anticipated risks related to the global healthcare workforce shortage. Minimizing or even better preventing the globally anticipated healthcare professional workforce shortage to ensure the continued provision of exemplar evidence-based care will require local, national and international responses that integrate and remain focused on the provision of patient safety and care, staff value and well-being, and organizational productivity and efficiency. Thank you once again and goodbye.